You're listening to a podcast from Newstalk ZB. Follow this and our wide range of podcasts now on iHeartRadio. Newstalk ZB.
Hello, my beautiful beanies, and welcome to The Bean for Friday. First with yesterday's news, I am Glenn Hart, and we are looking back at Thursday. And that means we're talking Auckland traffic and Auckland petrol prices, because it's all official now that us paying more for petrol than everybody else in the country, that's going to be gone come June. So we'll get into that. Mike Hosking and treaty principles. Marcus and shift work. I guess what he does is shift work, isn't it? The whole sort of, you know, working from 8 till midnight. And Cheergate. We've got Cheergate brewing here at Newstalk ZB. But before any of that, these cultural reports that get people lighter sentences. Apparently it's just a copy and paste job.
According to the report writers, according to the businesses that write cultural reports, is that they will help with rehabilitation. That the cost to the taxpayer will be more than offset by keeping a person out of prison and in the community contributing. That by giving a judge insight, that by an offender receiving a home detention sentence or a much lighter sentence, it will make them, give them a second chance. Make them think, somebody's finally listened to me, heard my truth, yay, now I can go and be a contributing member of society. The trouble is that in not one of these eloquent pleas to keep the reports, that are the very reason for these businesses existing, has the author shown there has been a reduction in offending as a result. I mean, there might be, I just haven't read it. There are a number of editorials that have appeared in the media when it looked likely that these were to be axed, and they're well written. If the cultural reports are as well written as the editorials, no wonder the offenders are getting off. They're well written, they're eloquent, they're all written by people who make a coin out of taxpayer-funded cultural reports, but not one of them has shown, as a result of cultural reports and fair and just sentencing, this person has never offended again, or recidivism has dropped by 22%. Not once. And if you can show me these figures, if you can show me the stats and show me the data, that the cultural reports that give judges insight into offenders result in these offenders not offending again, then it might be easier to agree that there is a place for cultural reports and the taxpayer funding them.
Yeah, it would be nice to do something about this. I think Mark Mitchell, the Justice Minister, yesterday described this as being a cottage industry. And you do get that feeling sometimes, don't you, that there's a whole industry around sort of busy work around court cases. I remember once there was a guy who nicked something off me and went to court, and just, even though there was clear evidence that he'd done it, like I'm talking about HD security footage, you know, he pleaded guilty at the first court, not guilty at the first court appearance, just as a matter of, you know, just as a matter of standard operating procedure, you just automatically plead not guilty, even though you are guilty. It's all that sort of thing. It's really annoying. Anyway, let's not get bogged down.
Newstalk ZB.
Speaking of being bogged down, the Auckland petrol tax that was supposed to help alleviate congestion in Auckland, how's that worked out for us?
These are the projects that are going to get cut because they haven't got the funding. Let me read you some. Mangere West Cycleway, road safety program including high risk intersections, safe speeds program aimed at reducing vehicle speeds near schools, small scale projects to improve local cycling connections, new low-cost cycleways to improve safety and travel options, upgrades to multi-mode roads, paths and intersections to support kāinga order. Who's going to cry any tears about that? Literally no one. I doubt very much many Aucklanders are going to be upset for one reason. Because we have paid this money for the last 6 years under the mistaken belief that we as motorists who were paying for it were paying for better roads for us to drive on. We did not get better roads for us to drive on. Instead, what we got was AT squandering the money on their own ill ability to just construct a basic pedestrian crossing. But more importantly, what we got was a city that is now more difficult to drive around, more congested than before. So as far as I can see, very, very little has improved for what we've paid. Much of what we're seeing is much, much worse. So I'm very happy to defund Auckland Transport.
Yeah, definitely the feeling is that Auckland Transport's done a lot for pedestrians and cyclists and not much for drivers. So we'll see how that goes as this coalition government just keeps walking things back. Sure they know what they're doing.
News Talk ZB.
ACT certainly thinks they know what they're doing when it comes to wanting to discuss the treaty principles, but nobody else wants a bar of it. Who's right, who's wrong?
Like most of these sort of debates, what you start out with by way of an idea very quickly turns into something else due largely to those who oppose it and start to spread the misinformation. Now, the Treaty Principles Bill has turned into, if you listen to those who don't want it, into a law to rewrite the treaty, to trash the treaty, to change the treaty, to strip rights away from Māori, and so it goes. The original idea was a referendum. We listen, we debate, we vote. What's being pointed out in this campaign is that what we started with, i.e. the same rights and duties for all New Zealanders, has been over the past couple of decades twisted into a series of ideas, not to mention laws, that somehow leaves us with a system whereby Māori, because they are Māori, get things non-Māori don't. And that, in simple terms, is not what was signed up to. The Māori Health Authority and its future, for example, will be part of a Waitangi Tribunal case. Firstly, the tribunal's got no teeth, they don't make law. Secondly, the Māori Health Authority is, comparatively speaking, brand new. It happened yesterday, for goodness sake, and is a good example of what ACT argued. The treaty wanted all New Zealanders to have equal access to, say, healthcare. And we do. Healthcare does not discriminate on race. But a Māori Health Authority is a race-based organisation. The interpretation of the treaty has become an industry, of course. The simplicity of a 200-year-old document has turned into an exercise in minutiae, without workings that may or may not have anything to do with the original intention. And that is all ACT wanting to do. Debate it, not rewrite it. You could argue that if this goes nowhere, it's a lot of energy for nothing, especially given the state of the country elsewhere. But as the Courier poll showed, 60% of us, 60%, broadly like the idea. So I think ACT are actually onto something here.
There's no harm in talking, is there? Is there? I hope not, because that's basically what this whole station is about.
News Talk ZB.
Now, we've got a bit of a stoush brewing, I think, here at work at News Talk ZB. And it's all because, for some reason, Mike Hosking decided he needed a new chair.
Right, let's head around the country for our afternoon news with the news director, Chelsea Daniels. Hello, Chels.
Good afternoon.
I see you're sitting in Mike Hosking's brand new chair.
I was just saying to producer Andrew, it's very comfy.
Yeah. It was about $3,500. It's an ergonomic one. What do you need your ergonomic for your butt cheeks for?
Actually, you're sitting in the same type of chair, Simon.
Shut up, James. I've just been outed.
I've got one and I don't even sit in it. I stand next to it.
It's a gorgeous chair.
It is.
Do you reckon he'd mind if I wheeled it out to the newsroom?
Take it out.
Yeah, I will.
Take it out.
What he would mind is if you told him that we already had those chairs.
Yeah, we've had them for 2 years. Tell him that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to begrudge Mike Hosking having a nice comfy chair given that he's doing two separate radio shows in a row these days. You probably want to make things as comfortable for him as you can. Unfortunately, on his first morning with the new chair yesterday, he didn't know how to drive it. It's got lots of buttons and levers and things, and he doesn't know what they all do. And just between you and me, when it comes to technical things, and I don't know if operating an office chair is that technical, but anyway, he's not the best. Is there some kind of driver training equivalent that you can go to for office chairs? Not sure.
News Talk, Zed Bean.
So yeah, like I say, Mike Hosking is certainly doing extra hours these days. A lot of us here at ZB do work strange hours. Marcus Lush certainly does. What's he thinking about it?
And there are a lot of good things about shift work. Handy for kids. You can help out at school. You can pick them up if it's raining. You can go to appointments without taking time off work. sometimes you ring up for an appointment, they say, is there any time that will suit you? You can say, all times suit me. You can shop if you want to, although that's all going online now, isn't it? What are the good things about shift work? Oh, probably the best thing about shift work, although that doesn't affect me in Bluff and Invercargill, the best thing about shift work is the fact that you are not stuck in rush hour traffic. So, yes, you can just do what you need to do. You also, if you're on shift work, you have a better relationship with your courier because you're normally home, and that's always good. The other good thing about shift work is that you can hear the, and it was our bin day today, Thursday, should have been Wednesday, you can hear the bin guy, woman, truck with that hydraulic lift going, think, oh, that's the bin, and you can run it out. Well, you couldn't do that if you're at work. You'd leave in the morning and a cloudy kind of a misty morning and you wouldn't know if the bin's out or not and you'd come home and think, oh, gee, I've forgotten the bin.
I think, so they were discussing the best things and the worst things about it. One of the, probably the most annoying thing, apart from you feel slightly nauseous because you're tired all the time working the hours I do, probably the worst thing about it is just people ask you about it all the time. And, I mean, it just happened to me yesterday. I had to go and sign some papers at the lawyers. And they said, oh, crikey, what time did you have to get up this morning? And, you know, when do you sleep? And I said, well, I was actually asleep half an hour ago. You know, and you've got to explain all that. When do you sleep, they say. And I say, well, whenever I can. Well, I think about it. And you have to have that conversation constantly. I've considered just pretending that I just have a normal job. But I can't remember what that's like. I am Glenn Hart. This is Not Normal. And we'll be back here with more of this abnormality, if I can pronounce it, with a weekend edition of News Talk ZBeen on Monday, Tuesday.
News Talk. ZBeen. For more from News Talk ZB, listen live, on air, or online, and keep our shows with you wherever you go with our podcasts on iHeartRadio.